Thank you, Brother Chim. That was fun. Kindergarten graduation is always great, except for no one messed up and did anything funny this time. So kind of took away from what we normally have here. Proverbs chapter 22, please. Proverbs chapter number 22. Of course, congratulations again to the young ones up here, also to the parents. So I used to think, wow, they memorize all that stuff during school, and the kids must be just real bright, and I'm sure they're very bright. But my son graduated this year, and I think it was an hour practice a day for weeks, right? And so a lot of hard work went into this. Thankful for the teachers, the principals, Brother Jeremy up here, Brother Chim, and just everyone, the volunteers who invest to make this happen. They don't do it for recognition. They don't do it for the package, the 403B and everything else. They do it because they believe in the potential of these young ones right here. That's why. And they do it because they believe that if we can harness and we can train that potential, they can make a big impact for the glory of Christ. My wife asked me if I was going to give a challenge to the graduates tonight. She said, "You're going to challenge your son?" I said, "Well, considering they're 5 and 6 years old and there's a whole bunch of other people here, why don't we leave that to Brother Jeremy and direct the challenge to the parents?" But I think that the little thought here tonight may be helpful for the entire church. If you have any influence over someone from a baby, really an infant, through someone who's not yet left the house, this can be helpful to us. And so there's that. I'm thankful for and I'm passionate about Christian education. I've been involved in Christian education, first of all, as a student, as a pupil for 21 years. Now, it didn't take me 21 years to graduate, okay? Not like that. But 21 years from elementary through high school and Bible college and then into some graduate studies and whatnot. And so, and then I'm currently now in my 16th year of teaching and administration in Christian education. And I've seen, I know Brother Chim has seen, and those of us that work in Christian education, we have seen firsthand the value that a biblically based education has on the lives of the next generation. Amen. In what ways? First of all, we've seen the character that it teaches and that it builds. We've seen the morals, the morality and the value. And by the way, can I just say this? We need young people in this day and age, and this is not just for the K-5, this is all the way up. If the young people are still in our home, we still have influence. We need young people with morality, values, and principles. We don't need people that are swayed by every mob and every woke philosophy that comes out. We need people that stand on the truth. And I've seen that Christian education instills morality and value. It gives preparation to our young people for their future life calling. We like to call it a life purpose. We've seen how it prepares our young men to be fathers, husbands, and leaders. And you say, when your son's 5 and 6 years old, and when the teachers train them, they're already thinking about the day when they're going to be fathers and husbands and leaders in our community? Absolutely. Absolutely. And Christian education can help with that. We've seen how it's trained some of our students to be valuable employees, successful business leaders, civil servants, and community influencers. But most importantly, here's where it's at. I've seen how Christian education prepares our young people to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what our young people grow up and end up doing with their life, whether it's in ministry or whether it's in the secular field, I really believe that a Christian as opposed to a secular education is paramount if they're going to please the Lord with their life. Now, we're in Proverbs chapter number 22 here tonight. In introduction, I just want to look at this passage, draw something maybe from a little different angle, and then once we get past this little introduction, I'm going to look at 4 reasons why, and I'm watching the clock. Brother Chim actually told me, Pastor, I was only going to have 15 to 20, 25 minutes maybe, something like that, to get done by 8, but he gave me 35. And then he said I could be done by 8:10, so that's actually 45. So buckle up. No way. I'm not going to do that. You came here to see them. I'll make some comments, give a challenge, and get out of the way. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." As I think about this verse, I've seen so many different spins on this verse. I've seen this broken apart and given so many different ways. As I think of this verse, I think of 3 different time frames in the life of the child. Me, as a parent, I'm responsible for 2 of these time frames. And my child, at a certain point, he's responsible for the 3rd. I believe that I will stand before God and give account for two of these time frames, and I believe that my child will for the third. Let's look at three words here. Proverbs chapter 22. Keep it open there. We're going to look here at the words, break them down, and then we're going to give a very practical application. First of all, the first word is the word train. Train. That's the starting point of the process. Strong's Greek, Hebrew Concordance, Webster's 1828. Train means this. It means to dedicate at a point and train up from a point. To initiate or discipline has the idea of a process of discipline and training that will continue. To exercise, to teach, to form by practice. What am I saying here? The first word in this verse says, it's a simple imperative command. It says, train. That's a starting point. Well, what do I mean by that? Here it is. If I'm going to train my child, one of them of five right here, and the rest of us and the rest of our children, look around, it's a blessing. It's the young people all over here. I have to make an intentional decision at a certain point at time that me, as a parent, or if some of you have your grandchildren that you either have custody over or that you're training or that you have a lot of influence over by God's grace. If I'm going to train, there must be a point in time where I decide I'm going to give them a biblical upbringing and a biblical education. Can I say this? It doesn't happen haphazardly. I shook hands. I probably shouldn't do that. I got COVID now. But, I can't just lick and put my finger up in the wind and say, okay, today I'm going to do this, or I'm just going to let it happen by chance. I cannot do that. Can I say this? Time is flying by. Time is fleeting. Pastor said this recently in his message. He said, the older I get, time flies. Pastor, I was going to say I'm half your age. I'm not half your age. You're way younger than that. Thank you. But I'm not as old, not quite, but I look back over the past 10 years, been married about 10 years, and it seems like I just blinked, and the 10 years is gone. In that time, by God's grace, he's given us 5 children, 0, 2, 4, 6, and 8. And I think if the past 10 years I've blinked and they're gone, 10 years from now are going to come and go. And my children, instead of 0, 2, 4, 6, and 8, they probably do better math than me at this rate, 10 years from now, which are going to fly, they're going to be 10, 12, 14, 16, and 18. I'll have teenagers and adults. I don't have the luxury of letting it come by chance. Yep. By the way, when we start a job, they have what? Pre-job training, right? How about our military? They don't just, hey, here's an M16, or here, let me give you these specialized weapons and throw you out there. What do they do for the first 6 months? What do they do? Boot camp, right? And then after that, they have specific skill training. And then after that, they put them in simulated situations to where they know exactly what that soldier is going to do when they get out there on the battlefield. Likewise, with our children, there must be a point in time where we begin the training process, because we know one day they're going to get out there and they're going to face the world and the flesh and the devil. And I can't just throw them out there and hope that they're trained. No, it's got to be intentional. By the way, our police force, they don't just throw them out there and expect them to deal with the stress and, 25 cameras every time they do a traffic stop. It's like, it's just a taillight. Come on, calm down. And, they go out there and all the stress and decisions they have to make on the fly, they don't expect them to do that without police academy and training. It's very intentional. How much more are precious children that God's given us? If a nurse has to go through that kind of training, if an officer has to go through that type of training, and by the way, it's intentional. It's been well put together, well thought through. They've got counsel. They've got talked to the experts. How much more are precious children, precious living eternal souls that God has given to us? We need to make a decision at a point in time that I'm going to train them in the way that they should go. And if I can say this, by the way, the parents that have their children up here are to be commended, because they've chosen to start that process. They've made that decision to train them in the way they should go. It starts with a decision, but it continues with a process. Jan, I might have you have someone run that water up here, because it's a little bit dry up here. I see you all fanning, and I'm running out of... could you have someone run that up? Thank you. Next, the second word. First word is train. Second word is, thank you, up. Up. Someone killed my water. It was full about 2 minutes ago. Not pointing any fingers. I won't even look over there because I don't want to sleep on the sofa tonight. But I got my suspicions. Up. What does the word up mean? The word up, you say, this is very elementary. Well, this is an elementary graduation. Come on now. The word up means there's a starting point in the training process where we dedicate them. We say, I'm going to train them. But then the word up means we go from that starting point and we build upon that which we started training them to do. You know, a lot of times we start the process as elementary. And if I can just say this from the heart for a while. And they're elementary. And then they get to junior high and we train them. And it's a good thing to give them a biblically based education. And then they get to high school and it's like, okay, they're compliant. They're submissive. Now I can start to instill my own will for their life. Let's not do that. No. Let's not do that. Yeah. If it's good for our K-5ers, it's good for our junior hires. If a Christian scripturally based biblical worldview education is good for our junior hires, then it's good for our high schoolers. Yep. And if it's good for our high schoolers, then likewise, it's good for when they graduate from high school and they're still inside of our home. And if I can add this, I don't really agree with, well, as soon as they turn 18, they're on their own. Give them a cell phone, give them a car, let them go out and do their own thing. We don't see that in the Bible. The Bible says that as long as they're in my home, I'm to continue the process. I start the training, I build on top of it, and I continue the process until the day, which leads to our next time frame. And here it is, when he is old. Now, I don't believe that this when he is old means he's 65 years old, he's gone out and sold his wild oats. Some people preach this. He's gone out, he's sowed his wild oats. 40 years later, after living in the world, he's going to come back if you train him in the way he should go. I don't believe that. I believe that when he's grown, when he's older, he's no longer a child. Yeah. He leaves my house, and now he has a decision to make. Am I going to continue in the way that I've been trained, or am I going to chart my own path and live a worldly life? Can I say this? The starting point, the training, where I say I'm going to train him, the process that starts right here, and we build on top of it all the way until they leave our house. All that we do is leading to that point when they will leave our house and when they will make that decision so that they choose to continue to follow the Lord. Amen. That's why we do what we do. So there's training. I start the process at a young age. There's a continuing, a building up, train up the child until he gets to that point where he makes that decision. Now, this is where I just want to give us four things. I've actually still got a decent amount of time. Four reasons why or how Christian education can help us to build on, I appreciate that, thank you, build on the process. Let's look again at Proverbs chapter 22 and then Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Four ways Christian education will help us. If God willing, we're here because we believe in Christian education. We believe in its value. God willing, we're here because we're here to see this. And we believe in this. Yeah. We believe in starting the process right. Yeah. But how can the church and the school, how does it come along, partner with the parents? And Brother Chim said this many times as a principal. Our job as a school and as a church is not to train them up, but to partner with the parents, with you as you train them for the Lord. And so how can Christian education help to train up to that point when he is old to where he makes the decision to serve God on his own? Number one, Christian education will help to give the child a biblical worldview. A biblical what? Worldview. Biblical what? Worldview. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, if you notice here, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Now, Proverbs is a book of what? Thank you, Brother Rob. Wisdom, right? So, what is the way that he should go? Well, Deuteronomy, in fact, we won't read it for sake of time. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 19 and 28, it talks about two conflicting worldviews. It talks about, and God, he says, if you take this path and this worldview, then you will experience a blessing. If you take this one, you'll experience a curse. But here, Proverbs 22, verse 6, it tells us that the way he should go, that's a way of wisdom. You say, what's the difference between a secular education and a Christian education? A secular education, they just try to pump you with knowledge. Whereas a Christian education pumps you with knowledge and wisdom. You say, what's wisdom? Wisdom is seeing, here's a definition, seeing and responding to life situations from God's frame of reference. And I know Pastor gives another one, and because he does it, his is better than mine. But that's just a secondary one. If our children are going to choose right when they are old, quote unquote, they're going to have instilled within them a biblical worldview that they will not get in secular education. How do you know? Because in secular education and what's going on out there, they will learn that gender is fluid. They will learn that a child is not more than a choice. They will learn that humanity happened by chance and it's survival of the fittest. They'll learn that religion, I like to call this the Oprah Winfrey doctrine because this is what she hails, right? They'll learn that every religion is valid and will get you to God. They'll learn that truth is not a solid foundation, but is rather relative from person to person. And we simply cannot afford to have our children be indoctrinated with a secular, heathenistic, atheistic, or even amoral worldview. However, in a Christian education, when they come to our school, when they're taught a biblically based foundation, they will know that there are proper roles and they will be taught the proper roles for men and ladies. They will be taught that the truth is not up for debate. It's not relative, it's not shaky, but it's a foundation on which they are to build their lives. You say, do you just teach them the sign language and teach them those verses so that they can get up and show us what they can do? Well, to an extent, but also we give them those verses because we want them to have that biblical worldview. Amen. They're taught in Christian education that every life has value by God. They're taught that global warming is coming. I just want to see if you're still awake. I know it's hot out there. I could tell. You're either fanning or you're like, man, it's been a hot day. Don't worry. Tomorrow's going to be hotter. I think it's going to be 89. They lowered it. It's going to be 93, 98, something like that. And they lowered it to 89. Take heart. Global warming is coming. We teach them that. It's not going to be because of emissions. There's nothing that our governor can do to get rid of cars there's nothing that smog's going to do to speed it up. There's nothing that Tesla's going to do to slow it down. Peter tells us that the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. God's going to burn this place up, and whether we hug a tree or whether we give up our car and get an electric one, it's coming. And we teach our students, hey, global warming's coming because God's going to replace this place, and we're going to stand before God one day, and you better live for that day. Yep. There's a big difference between a secular education and a Christian education. And if I can say this, it's not just in the school, it's also at the home. We must be careful who we let to influence our child's worldview. Nickelodeon, if they're still even on, they have a worldview. Disney, dead sure, has a worldview. And I could go on and on. The pop culture, they have a worldview. And they're trying to pump that stuff. You say, oh, Apple just came out. I don't know if you saw this today, Pastor. Apple just came out with an emoji. It's a cross-gender Santa Claus. You've got to be kidding me. Like, I understand the other emojis, but like, nobody even's asking for that. They have a worldview. They have an agenda, and they're trying to indoctrinate our young people so that they can mold them into their image. We can't afford that. A Christian education, as opposed to a secular education, will indoctrinate, if you allow me to use the word, our children with a biblical worldview. But also at home, we must be careful who influences them. Number two. Christian education helps to protect, man, this is a big one. This one hits me right here because I have young children. We talked about this in the office today, Brother Jim. Christian education helps to protect their innocence.
Right. Amen.
One of the plagues, and by the way, plagues is a nice word. It's a nice way of saying it. One of the plagues of the secular education system in our society and in pop culture today, and even in culture at large, is the destruction of the innocence of our kids. Yeah. Whatever happened to a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, even a 14, 15, sometimes 16-year-old that could hear a vulgar term on the street and have no idea what it means?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to a 10-year-old, 12-year-old, 14-year-old, where you can just look on their face and you just see that childlike innocence to where you know they haven't been polluted. You know they haven't been indoctrinated. You know there's not a bunch of filth going through their mind. Whatever happened to that in society? One of the saddest things we saw, Jen, last week. It's imprinted in my mind, and it's unfortunate. It shouldn't be. Was a little 3-year-old girl, 4-year-old girl, outside of Papa John's Pizza. I don't do that stuff. I only eat from Whole Foods, but my wife... I am sleeping on the sofa tonight. We were out there, and she was doing the most vulgar things. I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say it in a church setting. I wouldn't even describe it. But the most vulgar things that you would think even a 14, 16-year-old girl that goes to concerts and whatnot, she probably would have more self-respect than to do some of that stuff. And I look at my wife, and I thought, you know, we talked about it. Then you've got her about probably 6 or 8-year-old sister and about 10 to 12-year-old brother egging her on. Then you have her mom looking outside the car window, just kind of chuckling and laughing. And I think, when did that become acceptable? Well, it became acceptable when our schools at 4 and 5 and 6 start teaching them sex education that's inappropriate. And by the way, I watched part, Brother Ray, I think you watched part of a documentary that shows what's really going on when they're 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 years old. And I think, what do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 year olds have any business learning about that kind of stuff? I could have us turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. Well, I'll just read it. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What was God's warning to Adam? God's warning to Adam was, hey, if you eat that fruit, you're going to have your eyes opened in a way that you don't want your eyes to be open. Yeah. You're going to see an evil that you never saw before. And once you go there, you can never go back. Yeah. By the way, when our children are, I will say, infected with the immoral stuff that they see and they hear in secular education and pop culture, and watch out with that internet and those devices and YouTube and all that stuff. Look, I have enough. I don't know about you. I have enough temptations day to day. Now, maybe I know Pastor walks on water. I've seen him do it, right? And he doesn't have those temptations. But the rest of us, I have enough temptations day to day. I don't need my eyes to be open to another area of this world where there's filth in the world and the flesh and the devil. And likewise for our children. Why don't we keep them innocent until the time where they have enough spiritual fortitude and character to make the decision that, no, I'm not going to look at that. No, I'm not going to talk about that. No, I'm not going to touch that. No, I'm not going to do that. Instead of putting them in an environment where they're exposed to it all the time. That's why I'm so thankful for Christian education, because it protects their innocence. I had someone tell me one time, well, you all are just too sheltered over there. How are you going to know how to respond when you get into the real world? All right, so my kid doesn't know how to cross the street. Let me throw him out there to show him how he can avoid cars. That makes a lot of sense. I'm not going to do that. My 4-year-old doesn't know how to swim. I know some parents do it. If you do, more power to you. But I'm not tossing my kid in the pool so he can learn how to swim. I'm not doing that. I'm going to train him and make sure he has enough fortitude and training to be able to do that. My brother Dan started going on bus route in Bible college. And I'm thankful. My dad and our school and just our church sheltered us a lot. I'm thankful for that. And just kind of kept a sense of innocence for us for a while. And so my brother Dan, I remember when he started going out, and he started working with families that, let's just say, they're not Baptist or Christian. And I remember, Dan, you'd come to the office, and they'd use terms, and this is, Dan's like the counselor over there, right? He's supposed to be counseling these families. He's been working with their kids for at least 6 months, and, you know, so he's the expert or whatnot. And he'd go, and he'd say, man, I hear terms that I've never heard in my life. Because I hear stories that I've never heard of before. And he told, there was actually some pretty sticky situations that he was put in where people put him in a real bad situation. You know, I would much rather him be exposed to that stuff as a Bible college student that loves the Lord, that's been sheltered, that's been trained to where he has the fortitude to stand at that point, as opposed to throw him out there when he's too young. I could say a lot about that, but I'll move on. Number 2, we said Christian education helps to protect their innocence. We teach them just what they need to know. And of course, and we could say a lot about that. Let me just move on for sake of time. Number three, Christian education helps them to think outside the box. Think outside the box. Daniel chapter 1, don't have to turn there. You know, there was a time in secular and especially higher education where they taught people to think how? Think critically, right? They say, go ahead, challenge your teacher. I mean, that was like the culture, right? Like, if I say something, Paul and the Bereans, if I say something that doesn't add up, think outside the box. Is that how it is today? You can think outside the box as long as you think inside of their box, right? I mean, if you say anything against mainstream, quote-unquote, woke culture, then you are ostracized, alienated, and criticized, and called racist, xenophobic, homophobic, yada, 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 deplorable, all the other good stuff that we heard a few years back. You know, there was a day and age where we encouraged people, hey, if you think that something doesn't add up to the truth, question that thing. By the way, in my Bible college classes, I say, hey, as long as you have the right spirit, if you see something different in the Bible and you want to challenge me or you want to ask me about it, talk to me about it. Be like the Bereans. Ask if these things are so. We challenge our students to think outside the cultural and the normal box. You say, how so? Some people get nervous. Are we trying to go liberal here? No. Think about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about the leaders in that Babylonian culture. Think about the educators. Think about all the people that everyone said were woke, right? They're woke if they drink the wine. They're woke because that's how you are wise. That's how you are healthy. You eat the king's meat. You bow to the king. You do all these types of things. And then there are these guys that received a biblical education, right? They come in, and all of a sudden, they're challenging them to think outside the box. And guess what happened? When they saw the difference and they saw the light and they saw the radiance and they saw the wisdom in what they had, they chose to become like them. And I can make a lot of comments like that. But we teach our children, just because Professor so-and-so at Cal State said it doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because mainstream culture says you have to mold yourself into this image, think this way, talk this way, don't use these words, have to use these words, have to believe these theories, we say, no. We go back to the truth. If it lines up with truth, fair enough. If it doesn't, think outside the box. We expect our students to be different. They don't have to be molded into this culture. So number two, helps protect their innocence. Number three, helps them to think outside the box. And number four, and I'll be done. Here it is. And I do want us to turn here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you'll be happy because I think we're going to get out earlier than we normally do on Thursday. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. Here it is. And if nothing else, this may be the most important one. Christian education helps to prepare our young people for eternity. For eternity. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, for we must all appear, can I say this? All means our 5 and 6-year-olds. One day, we got to start thinking like this. One day, Dante, you behaving? Good, sat up straight. That's what I'm talking about. Jason, Caden, I could go on. One day, Andy, even though you didn't shake your dad's hand, that's okay. It's okay. Shake his hand after church. One day, my child, as young as he might be right now, he's going to stand before God. And he's going to give an account to God for his life. Yeah. One reason why I'm so passionate about Christian education is because Christian education will help to better prepare our young people for that day when they will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Because we will teach them. There's nothing wrong with owning a home and owning a car and pursuing certain things within, but that's not what we live our lives for. If God blesses with those things along the way because I learned some character and I got some value and I learned hard work and I started a business or whatever it is, that's fine. Praise the Lord. But we teach them that even more important than those things are the day that they are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of their lives to God. Yes. And Christian education helps them to prepare for that day. I'm so thankful for Brother Chim, Brother Jeremy, our school. And I'm thankful for Christian education for these reasons. And I could go on among many others. Let's go ahead and stand and let's ask the Lord to bless our night. By the way, before I close it, we can have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Not just are these young people going to stand before Christ, not only am I, by the way, my spouse, I want her to have a good judgment seat. Not only are they going to, but every one of us will. And if there's anybody in here tonight, maybe you're a family member, you say, I don't know what this is all about. I just came here to watch a graduation. I don't even know what you're talking about. The Bible says we will stand before Christ and give an account of our lives to him. But Jesus Christ made a way for us. If you're not sure, if you're not sure of how you would give account, if you're not sure, 100% sure, you would go to heaven when you die, talk to us about it. Jesus Christ died. He gave his life so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. Thank you so much. Let's pray and we'll dismiss. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for a biblically based Christian education. God, we're thankful for, of course, our little ones in the front. We're thankful for Brother Chim. We're thankful for Brother Jeremy. Thankful for Pastor in our church that has a Christian school and helps us, those of us that believe, we want to train our children, helps us in the process to where we look forward to that day when they go out on their own, they choose for themselves to serve the Lord. Again, Lord, thank you for all you do. Thank you for this night. God bless us as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.